So Genesis, let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. We're making big progress. These first three chapters, there's a lot to talk about, so we'll probably be slow in the first three, and then we'll get some speed going as time goes on. But I want to talk about rest. Anybody up for rest? Rest day? Yeah, God created, and then on the seventh day, he rested. Genesis speaks of God creating in 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh day. Now you're going, well, is that 24 literal hour periods? 6 days? Well, I'm not sure if they are exactly 24 hours, but pretty close, okay? Close enough that the future generations patterned their work week and their rest day after. We'll see that later on. But they would understand that phrase through chapter 1, evening and morning, the first day, second day, third day, fourth day. They would understand that to mean, a 24-hour period. God is able to create the entire cosmos just with one word, just like that. Could he not do that? He could probably take billions and billions of years, but he doesn't do it in a billion years or with one word. He does it in a week to lay out this sacred rhythm for human beings so that we would work 6 days and have a day off, a break, and actually even the domesticated animals took a break. It's really interesting throughout the scriptures that rest day or Sabbath rest, even the work animals got a break. Now, I remember Sabbath day or Sunday, our Sabbath, Sunday growing up. It wasn't Saturday, it was Sunday at our house, but my father wouldn't allow us to purchase anything on Sunday because he didn't want to encourage businesses to be open on Sunday. After church, we sat down to a formal lunch together consisting of a roast, potatoes, carrots, probably string beans, which I didn't like. And then we had a Jell-O salad. Anyone up for a Jell-O salad? You remember those? Yeah. And you put crushed like pineapple in it, like green Jell-O. It was a real good day. It was like mandarin oranges or raspberries. It was just awesome. And then maybe whip some whipped cream on it. I mean, that was very nutritious, I'm sure. But then we were sent to our rooms. We had to have a nap. Now, whether you slept, didn't matter. If you wanted to read, that was fine. But you had to stay in your room for at least an hour. I think it was longer. It seemed like forever, right? Because my friend, I thought it was cruel and unusual punishment because my friends were outside ready to ride bikes and play football and create things and build forts. And so I was running out of my house as fast as I could to get to my friends after this nap thing. The only thing is, nowadays, I wouldn't mind someone enforcing a nap time. Anybody with me? You know, when you ask people, how are you? 50% of the time, what are they going to say? I'm busy. I'm crazy busy. I'm crazy busy. Why? Well, we pack a lot of things into our life. And it's not all work-related. It could be school, lunch appointments, breakfast meetings, meeting with friends, or simply having fun. We're busy doing a lot, wearing ourselves thin. I love this quote. It's by Bilbo Baggins. Y'all know Bilbo Baggins of Lord of the Rings. He's talking to Frodo. Bilbo is talking to Gandalf. And he says to Gandalf, "I know I don't look it, but I'm beginning to feel it in my heart. I feel thin, sort of stretched, like butter scraped across too much bread. I need a holiday, a very long holiday." You just think about it in biblical times. Okay, before there was TV, computer, radio, smartphones, electricity, you would get up at dawn and you would be done at work at dusk. Afterward, maybe you would eat with your friends and family. Maybe you would sing. Maybe you would play an instrument. Maybe you would tell a good story. But There wasn't a lot of reading going on because they didn't really have a lot of books. Okay, maybe you wrote down a few segments of scripture that you heard at the synagogue or from a teacher, but there wasn't much reading. You could have maybe your lamp or your candle on, but that was it. I mean, it was very, very simple. I love all the modern conveniences, but instead of making our lives easier for ourselves, it's really made it more complicated because it allows us to work more. It allows us to work far into the evening. We can turn the lights on. It'll be daytime all night long. We can work and have fun to the wee hours of the night. And most of this is our own choosing because we don't want to miss out on anything. It's the first and the last thing we look at each day is this device called the smartphone. So we really never go, we really have a hard time resting. We are tired, thin, like butter scraped across too much bread. And a rest day is a gift from God. And I'm going to urge you to take it, plan for it, and then fight for it. Because you really do have to fight for it, don't you? Let me read Genesis chapter 2. This is the end of creation week. It says in Genesis 2, starting with verse 1, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them," that's probably the stars and the planets, "and on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." Lord, we ask that you would give me insight and give us attention, Lord, so that we know what you would want from us. And I pray, Father, by the end that we will learn how to rest. You will make it our lifelong pursuit to rest in you, to trust you, to worship you, to resist all of the demands, to be free from those things, Lord, and then to anticipate, Father, ultimate rest that we will enjoy as believers. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is so Genesis 2 is the first time you hear about a rest day. God inaugurates it. It doesn't command Adam and Eve to celebrate a Sabbath, but it simply just states what God did. He completed his work in 6 days, and then he stopped working on the seventh. He rested. And the word, the Hebrew word, doesn't just mean get in a hammock with a book. It actually means rest and celebrate. Kind of like when we work coming in the spring, we work in the garden, the flower beds, and we get it all just so. We sit on the porch, and we look at all that we've done, and we're satisfied, and we rest. That's kind of what God did. That's what the picture is here. So there is a celebration. There's a look of approval of all that's been created. That's what God has done. So our rest day each week is to worship God. Our rest day each week, and I'm going to press you for a rest day each week, is to worship God. Just as God celebrates with approval all that he has done, we're to use that day not to step back and look at necessarily the work that we've done, but the work that God has done, and celebrate and to rest. Now, worship means a delight, a joy, a satisfaction in God. But to do that, you have to pause and you have to think about it. You do. There needs to be some quiet moments to reflect and ponder. Because if you don't have that, you're not going to strengthen faith and your worship of God. It does require some quiet moments, which is why we encourage getting in the Word, getting into prayer every day, but then there's a day that we set aside to rest and reflect and to worship God. And I would suggest that even the way you prepare for this Sunday morning, you should think about how to get your mind ready for that. Probably What you listen to, you should give attention. What you watch, probably video games is not a good way to prepare for Sunday morning. You need to have your mind thinking about grand and great things, not puny, small, mundane things. That's how you get your heart and your spirit ready and to truly rest. Now, I'm a doer. Probably there's a bunch of doers in here. I like going, getting a lot of things done. But if feelings are going to be attached to my doing, I got to pause and think about it. My wife helps me in that way. Just to pause and think about what I'm doing so that I can have the appropriate emotions, appropriate affections for what I'm going to do. It takes time to pause and collect my thoughts. Without that, I'm going to solve problems in my mind. I'm going to strategize the next decision. I'm going to plan the next tasks. Rest day is one day to take our minds off of what we're doing to remind us of what God has done. Thinking about the meaning and purpose, takes time to process. Thinking about the greatest things, the grandest things that give us depth of soul, it takes time. It takes time. Slowing down for a rest day doesn't seem like good use of time, does it? I mean, that's the bottom line. We just like, really slow down? Doesn't seem like good use of time, but if you don't, your mind will be occupied with the trivial, the small, the puny, and then you, your own soul will be like that. We pause our activity to drink in the grandest of all things, God. If we did this more often, maybe we wouldn't be so frightened of the future or of the present because we'd realize who's on our side. We take time on rest day to worship. Worship on the day of rest rescues me from the small, mundane, trivial things that fill my heart with anxiety. And I commend you a rest day to worship God and then to learn to trust God. Rest day is to teach us and to train us to trust God. God blessed the seventh day, verse 3, and made it holy. Holy means it's set apart for special purposes. We have no record of anyone observing the Sabbath day until Moses, actually. And when they come out of Egypt, Exodus 16 is when you start hearing this sacred rhythm of a seven day week, 6 days of work, one day of rest. It's when they get hungry. When they get hungry and they start complaining that they're hungry, God sends what kind of food? Manna from heaven. And every day, this would be kind of cool, huh? You wake up and it's like a blanket of snow out there, but it's called manna. And you are to pick up only what you're going to eat for that day. That was the instruction. Because if you gathered more to stockpile, what happened? It got nasty and rotten and smelled bad. But on Friday, so Sunday through Friday, you were to get only, or Thursday, you would only get enough for one day. But on Friday, you could have twice as much, because on Saturday, no manna came. Now, just think about the pattern. You're talking about the most basic element of life, food. You need food. You're only able to gather the amount for one day, not supposed to stockpile it, but on Friday, you get to have double the portion, and then on Saturday, nothing shows up. He's giving us, and he's training Israel to have 6 days of work, one day of rest early on. And then Exodus 20 is the command that we are to make that Sabbath day holy, not do any work on the Lord's day or the Sabbath day. But it even goes deeper than that. Sabbath day principle penetrated even deeper in the nation of Israel. You know that they had Sabbath year. Who's up for Sabbath year? I mean, come on. Sabbath year. It meant that the whole, in Leviticus 25, verses 1 to 7, every seventh year they were let the fields have a rest. So the field got a rest. No cultivation. What a gift. But kind of scary, don't you think? Because they had no paid vacations like we do. Maybe some of you don't have it paid. But most people have some paid vacation. There's no paid vacation. That field was their livelihood. Rest day and then rest year meant they had to trust God, which is a very good thing. It's a very good thing. Just like giving God back a portion of our increase, the tithe giving to God helps us trust Him that what we can do with the tithe is not as much as what God will do and care for us. Same with that day of rest. We are to stop working so that we can rest and trust that God will take care of us, that the business will be okay, that the work will be there the next day. You can get right back on it. Now, all these people, because some of you are self-employed, you know what taking a day off means. Most of these people were self-employed. They were farmers. If food's going to end up on their table, they would have to cultivate their fields. And some of us feel the same way. It's like, if we don't constantly work, we'll fall behind. We won't get the promotion. We'll lose the sale. Rest day trains us to trust. It's a good thing. Just trust. Someone who is constantly working, never wants to take a break, a workaholic, might be someone who is weak in faith. Hard to trust. I would just commend that our day of rest will help you strengthen that muscle of trust in the Lord and faith. Time to rest. Time to trust. Rest day is for worshiping God. It's to learn to trust God. And then to resist Pharaoh. To resist Pharaoh. Now, John, where do you get Pharaoh out of Genesis 2? Well, I don't. But God set down a pattern of rest that would set Israel apart from all other people. It became a sign of the covenant that they had with God. Sign of circumcision and a sign of Sabbath rest. That was people set aside for God's purposes. In Exodus 20, the day of rest commemorated God's rest in creation. But here's where I get Pharaoh. Deuteronomy 5 talks about rest day to commemorate the Exodus. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy 5, starting with verse 12. Let me read it. Deuteronomy 5:12 says, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord God commanded you. 6 days you should labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of the livestock or your sojourner who is within your gates or your male servant or your female servants may rest as well as you." You see what I mean? Everyone was to rest. Even the animals were to rest. "You shall remember," here it is, "you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." So now he gives the reason that because when you were a slave, Egypt, you were owned by Pharaoh, but I freed you, so I want you to then to observe a rest day as a memorial of what I did in rescuing you out of slavery. That's what I mean resist Pharaoh, resisting Pharaoh. Living in Egypt started as a refuge, right, from famine. If you remember, Jacob and his 12 sons, they sold Joseph into slavery, and he went to Egypt, only to find out that he rises to second in power in Egypt. And it was God's way of protecting Jacob and his family, because they moved down and they were sheltered by Joseph in Egypt. They were protected, cared for, but they multiplied over the years. Generations later, their protected status was taken away and they became the forced labor. They became slaves. And Pharaoh was afraid that their number, so he wears them thin by oppressive labor. And slaves don't get time off. Okay? They're working 24/7. Rest is a byproduct of freedom, which they don't have. And it's year after year after year with no end in sight. Pharaoh has ambitions. He's building cities. He builds monuments that speak of him. Slaves do not rest so that Pharaoh can rest. Because if the slaves rest, Pharaoh gets troubled. He gets stressed out, and you wouldn't want that because he's going to lose sleep. When Moses approaches Pharaoh to ask for time off to worship God, what does Pharaoh do? He buckles down. He fastens it tighter. He makes their work harder. God's people were building supply cities for Pharaoh, places to store more stuff. You know, the thing is, we will work to the bone for just a little bit more stuff and a little bit more storage so that we can give our kids more. But I don't know if that makes our lives fuller and richer. Because when we're always occupied and working, sometimes we don't get to sit back and enjoy what God has given in each other, in our children. It's always we got to have more in order to live the full life. And in the pursuit of more, we lose out on life. Rest day is a way to resist the demands of Pharaoh for more. Whether it's your boss, whether it's home projects, or whether it's your inner Pharaoh, and I have one of those, you need to do more, and it's never good enough. And you have to resist that if you're going to rest. Resist Pharaoh. We set aside rest day to worship God, to learn to trust. It's kind of like the training wheels of trust. We do it to resist Pharaoh and to celebrate freedom. Rest day is to celebrate freedom. Deuteronomy 5:15, I want you to commemorate the freedom that I bought in getting you out of Egypt. I'm commanding you, God is saying, to celebrate freedom because you have been emancipated from Pharaoh and his endless projects, his vicious pace, no time for rest. And every week, I want you to remember on the rest day that you were once a slave. I want you to remember what it was like to be owned. I want you to remember when you had no relief in sight. And on that day of rest, to take into account all the miraculous displays of power that brought Pharaoh to his knees. I want you to remember that you have a God who loves you, cares enough to level your enemies and lead you to freedom. That's what rest day is about. Rest day is about celebrating freedom from slavery. So how should you practice it? May I give you some suggestions? And again, this may take you time to get there because you may have entangled yourself so that it's very difficult to take one day off. I would just say, work toward it then. Make it your goal. Work toward it. So how should you practice it? Here's how you practice it. Cease from what is necessary. What you must do when you're on the clock, lay it aside that day. Don't try getting ahead on a future work project. Do what is restful, what is worshipful, what is enjoyable. Do the things that give life, like sleep. Worship with other believers. Dinner with friends. Read. Journal. Go on walks. Sit around a fire. Go sledding with your kids. You know that I was reading this book called The Rest of God. It's such a great book. I'm starting to kind of peruse through it again. The author said one of the first things to go in an adult life is play. We lose all reflex to play. I mean, why play? We're all stressed out, and you're not in the mood to play when you're stressed out, right? Your kids want to play, and you're stressed out. You don't want to get on the floor and play or do something. When you have young kids, rest day means putting on play clothes, right? Learning how to be a kid again. When my kids were young, rest day meant giving my wife a rest. And while I took the kids sledding to the park on a hike, now I wasn't in a hammock reading a book, but I wasn't working. I was playing with my children, and it was good for me. We have great memories because of it and all the fun that we had at different parks, and we went through all the parks and all the play areas and things like that. For me, rest day means that I stay away from work-related topics, hard conversations that will drain me instead of give life. Again, it may take you time to carve out a rest day, but I commend it to you. Doing everything you can to get all of the errands. Don't make it errand day. Rest day is rest day, not errand day. Make errands happen another day so that rest day is truly rest day. You do whatever gives life and just celebrates the blessings that God has given you as a family or as a couple or even as a single person. So it may take you a while again. It takes discipline. It takes planning, but it's well worth it so that we can worship God, to trust him, learn how to trust, resist Pharaoh, celebrate freedom, and finally, to anticipate ultimate rest. To anticipate ultimate rest. For Israel, rest day, their Sabbath was a sign of the covenant with their God. Kind of like a ring is to marriage. This ring symbolizes that I belong to somebody. Sabbath day keeping in the Old Testament was that they belonged to Yahweh, God. This is why the Pharisees were so exercised about Sabbath keeping in the New Testament. We go, what? Why are they so uptight all the time? Because it was a symbol of their commitment to God. And they had already been in exile. They didn't want to go out in exile again. They wanted everyone to keep the Sabbath. Jesus irritated them. He was doing miracles, a fact that they could not deny. But why was he doing it on the Sabbath day? And if he was truly someone special, a prophet or the Christ, why was he breaking the Sabbath in doing it? Now, really, he wasn't breaking the Sabbath. Remember, they had rules around the rules which he was breaking. He was breaking their rules, not the Old Testament law. He broke their rules by healing a man who had a deformed hand on the Sabbath day in Mark chapter 3. He healed a woman who was deformed for 18 years on the Sabbath day in Luke chapter 13. Now, why was he doing these things? Jesus did these things deliberately to show that he was the fulfillment of Sabbath rest. He is the Lord of rest day, because he brings the ultimate rest. It was time for the symbol to give way to the substance of rest. Jesus, the Son of God. Sabbath day keeping was a sign of the Old Testament, old covenant made with Israel. We're people of the new covenant. And what are the symbols of the new covenant? Baptism and the Lord's Supper. Those are the symbols, not Sabbath day keeping. Sabbath day, working 7 days a week, is not sinful. So if you work on the Sabbath day, you're not in sin. If you work 7 days a week, it's not sinful. It's just a little stupid because you are not God. You can't last that long. You're going to break down. God gave it to us as a gift. He gave it as a gift. Taking a rest day trains you to worship God, trust God, resist Pharaoh, celebrate freedom, and to anticipate the ultimate rest. Do you know the true rest that Jesus brings? Because no amount of amazing vacations can bring the rest that you need. All the exotic places you want to go, it's not going to bring the rest. Not the rest that Jesus brings. Because the restlessness within it can only be settled by Jesus. That restlessness is your anxiety over who you are, what you become, what you have or have not accomplished, who loves you, and it's that ache for fulfillment and completeness that we try to prove ourselves and others our value and worth, and it's found in Christ. Could it be that the restlessness and anxiety that fuels your heart is an indication that you are trying to find approval apart from Jesus? He is the ultimate rest. When that's settled, it settles so many things in your life. It will make you have the capacity to have joy and delight and gladness, to enjoy the life that God has given you. But it first starts with knowing Jesus. Augustine in the 4th century said it this way: "You, God, have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." Let me say that again. You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. Jesus said it in Matthew 11:28. "Come unto me, all you who are weary and weighted down, and I will give you rest." Do you need that rest? Do you know the rest that Jesus brings? Because I'm telling you, a rest day or your day off or a vacation can't touch the rest that Jesus brings. You were meant for it. You were meant for it. For the Christian, rest day that God modeled in Genesis 2 helps us. It helps us pause to worship, to be amazed at God once again, not what we've done or get stressed out about what we haven't done. To help us trust Him so that we're not working 7 days a week because we've got to get food on the table. We're gonna trust Him. The training wheels of trust. And we're gonna celebrate, or we're gonna push back the demands to produce that the inner Pharaoh or the boss Pharaoh keeps pressing upon us. We're going to push back and resist that day. And we are going to celebrate then the freedom that Christ has brought. Again, time to pause, time to reflect, time to create a greater capacity of worship within you. Because if all you ever do is think about puny, trivial things that will one day you will forget about, truly. The things that you stress about today, you think are so important, you'll forget in a couple months what they were. I just challenge you, fill your heart on that rest day with grand, awesome things, God Himself, and the work that Christ has done for you. And then finally, we do that to anticipate the ultimate rest that he's going to give us. I think of Psalm 23, don't you? That he's going to invite us into his eternal rest. Rest day helps us remember that success and fame are overrated. Status is overrated. That you're at peace with God through Jesus is everything. And for you to stop your activity so that you don't have to become somebody, you don't have to succeed working 7 days a week, you can rest in the fact that the work, the greatest work, has already been done on your behalf, Jesus, and to truly rest. Success and fame can never bring true rest, true satisfaction, true peace. We have to rest in the accomplishment of Jesus on our behalf. Why don't you bow your heads?